Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our subject today, talking politics with your children. Our guests are Veronica and Stephen Caulfield. I'll introduce them in a moment, but first my monologue. Why should we take time out of our busy lives and unlimited parenting time and talk about politics with our kids? Let me answer that with a poem by John Godfrey Saxis, The Blind Man and the Elephant. This was written in the mid-1800s, but still germane today. It was six men of Hindustan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant and happened to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp. To me it's mighty clear. The wonder of the elephant is much like a spear." The third approached the animal and happened to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up and spake, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out of an eager hand and felt above the knee, "What wondrous beast is like? It's mighty plain to see," quoth he, "it's clear enough, the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth who chanced to touch the ear said, "Even the blindest man can tell what this resembled most. Deny the fact, who can? The marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Hindustan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceedingly stiff and strong. Though each was partly in the right, they all were in the wrong. So oft in theological wars, and we might paraphrase political wars, so oft in political wars, the disputants, I ween, rail on in utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant none of them has seen. Now, the poem is used for decades to argue against relative truth and the theological relativism that follows. But it also argues against our political system and the media's portrayal of it. When kids near voting age and start to pay attention to what's going on, they will be like the blind men and become so confused that they deny interest in politics, public service, and even in voting. So let me repeat. Parenting should discuss politics regularly with their kids. So unlike many of today's young parents, who live by the, quote, "don't talk to kids about religion or politics, let them make up their own minds when they become adults," they'll learn about politics and religion when they become interested. Yes, they might, just like they might learn about sex in the grade school bathrooms and playgrounds. But learning from parents is a profoundly better way to teach difficult yet important subjects. Even if your kids' schools still offer what used to be called civics, you won't know which part of the elephant their social studies teachers have touched. Like many other adults, they may see and teach politics like the blind men saw the elephant. Worse yet, while in high school, your kids will learn about politics from posts on the internet, written by bloggers blinded by the elephant fragments they have picked up during their short, or worse yet, their long, years of examining only the trunk, the ear, or other individual part of the whole. Then when you send them off to college, you'll not know if they will have professors like those who teach at Hillsdale and convert them into conservatives, or, like most colleges, they'll have Berkeley-type professors who will lead them into the liberal agenda. Relativism in politics as well as in religion teaches that there is no absolute truth. Truth can be changed to fit the situation. But that line of thinking is anathema to religion, liberty, and to freedom. Most of you, and I, love our country, respect the flag, and hold the Constitution up as a sacred document. It blows my mind to think that mortal men, not God himself, created that incredible document. What a remarkable feat. If we are to keep this country free with the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if we recognize that all men are created equal and endowed with these inalienable rights by their Creator, if we desire equality and justice for all, then we must have informed voters. And, as with all other philosophies, learning values and mores begins in the home, taught by the parents. To help us teach these important lessons to our children, I have invited Veronica and Stephen Caulfield to the show. Veronica was born in Kansas City, Missouri, grew up in North Fork, Virginia. Stephen was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. Both graduated from Virginia Tech. Stephen has an MBA from Lipscomb, where he also coached soccer. He currently works in the finance group at Mars. Veronica has her BS in political science and has worked in a local politician's office. She currently stays home and cares for their 2 and 5-year-old daughters. They attend Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. Welcome, Veronica and Stephen, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming on WBOU.org. It's such a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're so welcome. I appreciate so much you being here. Stephen, when I asked you to be on a show with us, I asked you what you wanted to talk about, and you said politics. Why was that? What gave you the interest in politics? Why? What did you have in mind?
I think somewhat like you talked about in your opening monologue, it's become a very touchy but yet important subject within our world today. It's become a lot more polarized. It's a lot more discussed. And so I thought it would be definitely an interesting topic to try and tackle. And Veronica, as you kind of outlined at the beginning there, also comes from a pretty long line of both studying it in school and working in it as a profession. So we've developed a pretty strong interest in our family in the political spectrum. And there's a little small nugget in the back of my head that one day politics may be a place I might have interest down the road, but we'll see if that ever comes to fruition.
Well, we sure love to have you because you're such a wonderful man. I met Stephen some years ago in a men's reading group at church, and we all really enjoyed having Stephen with us. He's helping him learn, and he helped us learn. It was a very good group. Thank you for that, too, Stephen. Veronica, you worked in a local or in a politician's office. What role did you play there, and how long did you stay?
So right after I graduated high school, I was living in Northern Virginia, and I worked for a congressman on Capitol Hill as an intern. I worked there maybe 3 or 4 months until I went off to school. And then after I graduated college, I actually went back to the same congressman's office and worked as their staff assistant, which is basically kind of the first person that you see when you walk in the door. I answered phones, helped coordinate the interns, sorted mail, which doesn't sound very glorious, but when you have tons of it coming in, that can be very important. You know, you need to make sure that's done right. I would also help any of the legislative aides with anything that they might need. I gave tours, which was probably one of the most rewarding aspects of working on Capitol Hill, just taking people through the Capitol that have never been there before. Sometimes there's even no words that need to be said. Just walking them through is just, it's breathtaking. So I really enjoyed my time. I still talk to Stephen about it. Out of all the things that I've done, except obviously being a mom to our 2 little ones, I've loved working on Capitol Hill. It was a very rewarding time and really enjoyed it.
It would really be exciting, I think. Mm-hmm. And you get a chance to meet all the people there. And
What you mentioned earlier about learning something in civics class, I remember talking to a legislative aide and she said, they teach you all these things in school, but then actually seeing it, like going to hearings and hearing the bells that go off and what that means, and only Congress people can ride in certain elevators. It's pretty remarkable.
Good. Stephen, you were raised in Canada, and have an interest in U.S. politics. Are you planning to become a citizen, or have you become a citizen?
Yeah, great question, and somewhat timely. I want to say maybe a month or two ago, probably two months ago, I actually started the process to become a U.S. citizen, which, depending on, I think, all your background and particulars, can be a very short or long process. I think short could be a year, so that would be the earliest I'd be looking at, so probably the end of this year, if it all works out. There's a lot of steps that are required. Kind of fingers crossed that maybe it is a little bit earlier, and perhaps would get the opportunity to vote in the upcoming presidential election would be kind of neat. But yeah, I'm actually in the middle of it. I think I just got notification that I actually have to go for my interview and show my English skills, which I think I should be okay on that one. But then there actually is a civics portion, so I need to brush up a little bit on my kind of American civics. I have a book they've given me, and I need to read through that and make sure I know who are senators and congresspeople and all that good stuff. But I think with all the stuff Veronica's taught me and things I've learned, I think I should be in a decent spot to pass the test.
I think you will, too. And please invite me to the swearing. That'd be exciting.
Will do. Okay.
Well, let's get back to the topic. In order to discuss politics intelligently, many parents will have to brush up on their own knowledge, read newspapers, including the editorial pages, watch news on both CNN and Fox, discuss in civic conversation. I think this is really important. Discuss in civil conversation both sides of the issues, independent of whether they are the same politics and political party as you or are the opposite. Do you think parents are willing to take on that responsibility to teach their kids? Either one?
Yeah, I think it's crucial. I mean, in our house, when the president comes on TV, both of our girls know who he is, mm-hmm. and we'll say, "There's Donald Trump," mm-hmm. and we don't necessarily encourage that because of any political affiliation. And it's important for them to know who that person is. It's important for them to know why that person's important, and we don't push that because of any particular agenda. And in fact, our oldest daughter drew a picture of Donald Trump and Melania the other day just because she knows and has learned that that's an important mm-hmm. person mm-hmm. or role, really, mm-hmm. to respect. And so for us, again, it is very much a, whether it's with our kids or friends or other people, it's an important topic to discuss. And we actually probably more so discuss with people who have different ideas and opinions, because I think that makes you well-rounded and certainly gives you the opportunity to continue mm-hmm. to evolve your thinking and appreciate both sides of an argument.
That's good. You know, when we talk about politics, we always think political, presidential politics.
Yep. I mean,
but I had a friend who's more close to your age than mine. He's a friend of Rafe's, actually. Yes, I'm Rafe. And he says that the most important election you ever have is your HOA association. And I don't know if you live in a community that has an HOA.
We do.
You know, it is an important job. But how do we get people to realize that the mayor election and the state house and the state senate, all those people, those are all really important issues. We need to learn about them. And how can we learn about them? I mean, go to the polls. Sometimes you see people there, you don't even know who they are. But how do we get to know them?
I think one really good way to do that is to teach your children that you can make a difference. Like, you know, if you run for something, I mean, even this is kind of a silly example, but when I was in the fifth grade, I ran for student council president. And just that little bit of being exposed to something that you can see that, hey, what you say and what you do, and if you can muster up enough energy, you can get people behind you and then you can make a difference. And so I think it's important to show them that, hey, if you have an idea, if you want something, if you see something that you want to change, that you can make a difference. And then to explain to them that there's different levels, there's different, you know, like in a household, you know, there's a hierarchy, and you know, some people are in charge of other people, and this person's, you know, you have to get this person on your side to help you. It's not just, and it isn't just a one person you know, campaign or one person job. You have to get a lot of people excited about what you're trying to accomplish. And that's, you know, making sure that you get other people involved in what you're trying to accomplish, your goal.
How about school board? Would school board be a topic for discussion at your house?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we have a rising kindergartner, and every decision that they make impacts our lives and our girls' lives, which is very important to us. And, you know, even just little things of teaching our daughter, you know, that's a principal. She makes decisions for your school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important. I mean, and I think that we all need to be involved. It's not something that you should just brush off and, you know, brush under the rug because it doesn't matter to you, because every decision that other people are making, it does impact your life in some way or fashion.
Mm-hmm. We've tried to talk to our girls about what it means to be a leader from a very early age and encourage them to be leaders. And so I think because they, relatively speaking, have a decent idea of what that word means, we're able to apply it and talk about how a principal is a leader, how someone is a leader and what that actually means and how they can affect everybody. And so the fact they understand the concept of a leader, I think, allows us to be able to talk about all these different bodies and what they do and how they can influence and impact the things that we're doing on a daily basis.
You know, there's so much to learn when you're a kid. There's so much to learn about everything. Kids have a blank slate, and we have to help them fill that up. What does the school board do? Who's the governor? What's the governor do? Who's the representatives? When you see somebody those on television, maybe the governor's talking or there's an article in the paper about the right now about the mayor's getting in trouble in Nashville, are you able to talk with your kids about now? Your daughter's five, so she just can't talk. But if you guys talk about it together, does that brush off on them?
I think so, yes. I mean, our little one, Margaret, our oldest, she's always listening to everything that we say. And if we ever, we'd like to discuss politics a lot in our house when Stefan comes home from work. We always are talking about, you know, the latest breaking news of the day. But we try to keep it very G-rated, especially in front of our children. And then later we'll talk in more detail. But she understands. I mean, she knows about you know, the government and the president, probably because it's the most prominent person that she'll see on TV. But yeah, I think she...
We also, when it was Governor Haslam, they would have different events typically around the holidays where they'd open their house up and we'd go there and we'd talk about the first lady of the state and we'd talk about Governor Haslam and go to their house and show pictures. And so, I mean, as much stuff as we can try and do, we will... expose them so they, again, just not only understand it, but have an appreciation for why those people are important and the impact they can have.
You know, I see articles all the time, especially on blogs, about how to get your kids to talk. Well, when my kids were in school, grade school, high school, and my lady once says, how do you get your kids to talk? And I says, honey, tell me how to get your... how to get your kids to shut up, and I'll tell you how to get them to talk.
That's what was going through my head when you said that.
I was thinking the same thing.
But I think being open to discuss things about their lives at supper time, but also your life is important too, and so is yours, and so is the life of our country. So to talk about them all together, I think it's really important, and I think you're doing that really well. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Eventually, your kids are going to want to know whether you're Republicans or Democrats or Independents or whatever, Communists, whatever it is. And do you think parents should tell the kids that?
Can I put you on the spot?
Yes, go for it.
I thought what you said in the car, we were talking about this morning, just in terms of our perspective and what have you, but I thought you said something very interesting this morning, if you don't mind sharing that.
Yeah. So growing up, my dad was in law enforcement. I'm from a law enforcement family. He was a police chief and then worked for the federal government. So he was always very in the know of what was going on in the local political arena. He always watched the news. And so I think a little bit of my interest is kind of just from my DNA. I mean, he always had the news on. I always have the news on. I might not have the words on, but it's just, it's there. I like to watch it. And even not until I really went to college did I really understand the difference between Republican and Democrats. I mean, I just, in my family, it was more just the topic of conversation or you know, what was going on. It wasn't really a right or left, you know, discussion. It was just whatever the topic was that, you know, was being discussed. And I think that you know, my parents never pushed me in one way or the other. It just kind of evolved, and we happened to have the same political views, which works nicely for us around the dinner table. But I think when children get older, like my dad and I talk about, you know, politics often, probably daily. I get fired up about something and I call him and we're both fired up and we're talking on the phone. But not really until recently did we really start talking about the different political parties.
But, you know, it used to be like when you were in college and when I was in college, there wasn't a heck of a lot of difference. But nowadays, man, there is big, big schism.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of differences. But it's like one of my grandsons, he just turned 29 last week, I guess, or 27, I think that's, he's old. He said, someone asked him, he said, does your family have get together and have these loud political arguments? He says, oh, no. He says, they don't? No, no. He says, we have loud political agreements. And I think and the point of my story is that if you have a normal family, say, for example, if you came from Toronto like you did, and isn't there a baseball team up there?
Yeah, they're pretty good. There's also a basketball team.
Okay, but if you wanted your kids to be if you were a fan of that team and wanted your kids to become a fan of that team, what would you do? You talk about it at home. You talk about the team. You talk about the players. You talk about who got a hit strike, who got out, who was a good pitcher. And you just know it, and they would become fans. And I think that's what we have to do in our religion and in our politics. They're so close and so separate, but they're so close.
I think, if I can add one thing, I think the important thing that we try and focus on is that our girls have a set of values or a set of morals. And at the end of the day, I don't care if they're liberal, democratic, Republican, conservative. I don't particularly care what political affiliation they lean towards as long as they have a basis of morals and ethics that guide whatever they do and want to do. And if they find a candidate that aligns with those instilled values, then that to us is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there's you get together with people who have the same values and mores as you do, and that's sometimes why parties are formed, you know, and how new parties are formed. Did either of you ever feel that your college professors were partisan in the classroom?
We talked about this last night, and to be honest, I don't. Even being a political science major and taking a bunch of different courses from different professors, I never felt like they pushed one agenda over the other. Also going to Virginia Tech, it is kind of more of a rural school. But no, I never felt that way. What about you, Steph?
Yeah, we had the fun opportunity to, we were dating in college, so we took some classes together. And, you know, I helped Veronica with a lot of her homework. I think it was probably quite the opposite. But we had some professors that we look back on now, and they've kind of become somewhat of a media personality, and you look at them now and you're like, wow, that person's very liberal or that person's very conservative. But at the time, you didn't really think about it, or it wasn't as in your face as maybe it's made out to be today. But it seemed very, you definitely know people now and you could categorize them into those different buckets. But at the time, everybody was able to sort of get along, have conversations. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as big of a tension or dichotomy as it seems to be today.
Social media was just kind of starting off when we were in college. I mean, we had Facebook, but that was about it. So I think that maybe kind of helped us, helped keep the...
Yeah, and phones weren't... dating ourselves, but they you could call people and maybe text people, but that was about it. It wasn't where they are today. Yeah.
Well, I think that the point is, you know, how do you teach your kids about politics is you teach your kids about mores and about values.
Yeah.
And then you be free to talk about how politicians and policies affect our values or how our values affect our policies. And I think that brings up one question I just asked you earlier this morning when we were talking. You know, President Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for what your country can do for you, but rather what can you do for your country. Do you think that would go over today?
I think that is sort of a hard thing for people to wrap their head around these days. But for our girls, I would just teach them that it's you always need to be trying to help others. Mm-hmm. And as far as like, you know, helping your country out, it's kind of a hard concept for our little ones to get, but always wanting to help others, putting your, definitely obviously looking out for yourself, but then also looking out for those who need a stronger voice than what they have, or somebody that, you know, you might need to stand up, or even if it's like on the playground for something, you know, for our younger ones, just to have a strong voice for others.
Well, this has been really phenomenal. Time is already up. Time is pulling us off. This got the cane out already. thank you very much for coming. It's a pleasure to have you here on WBOU.100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. A great big thank you to both of you and to our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. Before I sign off, one quick story. Most of my readers know that I worked for the Nashville Military Entrance Processing Station, where we did qualifying exams on military candidates. Often times there would be young men and women sitting in the lobby watching TV, which was there for their entertainment, to keep them doing something while they wait for their exams. One morning I walked into the room, the TV was on to a news program, and they were talking about the recent presidential primary debate. Uninterested in politics, one of the military candidates grabbed the clicker and clicked the TV onto some stupid, idiotic cartoon show. And I was like, but, you know, I can't say anything about that. And he said, we're not interested in that political junk, he said. And there were about 10 kids there. Nobody disagreed. They just watched the stupid cartoon. Now, I wonder, how can these teens and young adults who are volunteering to work for our commander-in-chief defend our country, and vote in the 2020 election, how can they not be interested in learning about the man or woman who may become their boss, the commander-in-chief, our next president? So think about that when you send your kids off to school in the morning, when you come home at night. Are you helping your kids develop the proper attitude towards country, which is our fellow citizens as a country? Now for your homework. Watch the news with your children, all who are over the age of 6, and discuss politics that they report. Then listen to the next debates. If you are not of the party of the debate, that's okay. Listen anyhow. Maybe you'll learn something. And then make sure that you watch all the presidential debates, and then when the time comes to vote, pick up your kids, take them with you. Let them see what politics voting is like. I think they'd be excited about that. And then go to my website, Parenting Matters, parenting-matters.com. Click on homework and tell us how your family reacted to this. And then even more important is as the election comes, talk to them about who won, who lost, and then see how they react to the changes that were made. And then let us know that too. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thank you for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.